What's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. I'm your host for the evening, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
I don't usually do this, but can I sing to you? Talk to you for hours. I wanna give you your flowers and some champagne showers, all the shrimp and lobster towers. But it's me that gets devoured. Ooh, when you do what you do, I'm empowered. You give me a superpower. Together the world could be ours. You sit me up on the counter, instantly it's thunder showers, storming for a couple hours. When we finish, take a shower. I could do this for hours and hours and hours. I could do this for hours and hours and hours. I could do this for hours and hours and hours. I could do this for hours.
Yes, yes, we're back, we're back, we're back. It is December 26th. Christmas is gone, and now, please, please, please lock up your kids because it's going to be an adult conversation right now. This evening, my guest is the one, the only. She goes by Mistress, but she has many names that she has operated under many in the different realms of BDSM kink. Affectionately known as Kitty, Master Kitty, for those under her command, and Mistress Kitty for the meek. She's been delving into the art of BDSM kink for over 20 years, but has become serious about it in the last 10 years. Operating throughout Canada, whipping submissives into shape daily, Findom being her first love, Mistress is versed in many aspects as well. Welcome to her world of exquisite desires and lavish indulgence. She is a curvaceous BBW, Findom, with a captivating presence and an insatiable appetite for power dynamics. Allow her to guide you through the thrilling journey of financial submission and connect you to new realms of pleasure. You can find her on IG at Ma Tante Cochon. Welcome, 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 Mistress Kitty. How are you doing this evening?
I'm well. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, Christmas was yesterday. Spent a little time alone. Maybe, you know, a little time with family. But, yeah, it's good times. You know, the holidays are what the holidays are. How was your Christmas? Let's start there.
Bah, humbug. So, first things first. So, if you check out my media now, you'll see some of the videos that I posted actually right before Christmas came. And I have one video where I'm just using a cat of nine tails and just tearing the air up. And the video goes to the tone of, you know, what I'll be doing on Christmas Eve instead of taking the kids' Christmas gifts that I have on my Santa hat, you okay. know, and my little thugged out Mama Santa Claus outfit tearing ass up.
Okay. Well, I guess we should just dive into it. How did you become introduced to the BDSM kink community? Because one of the things is, you know, this is something that is very taboo in the Black community. It, as much as we see it in the non-Black community a lot, there's a lot of maybe triggering things that can come from when you think about BDSM and kink, right?
Right.
Especially when it comes to like pornography, there's a lot of tying up of Black women and whipping and all of that stuff, and some people kind of conflate that with slavery. So how did you become involved in this community? What attracted you to it, and how did you become involved?
So that is so crazy that you say that. Wow. So I have to go back very, very far. Yeah. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd probably be the first person I'm telling this story to. I'm not going to go fully into it, though. You'll have to read it in the book. Okay. But so when I was younger, I moved out very soon after I graduated high school. And I graduated high school at 16 years old. I was just about to turn 17.
Right.
And I moved out because I just, my communication style was very different from my mother's.
Okay.
My godfather had an apartment. And he told me that I could go and live in this apartment if I could pay the rent. And I think the rent at that time was like 300 or 400 bucks.
Right.
And I moved into the place, and it already had a little bit of furniture in it. But I had big dreams, you know. Mm-hmm. I was a kid. Right. But I was very much felt like I was grown since I was young. And I felt like I needed to... I wanted to furnish my apartment with the furniture that I liked and the things that I wanted. And so I was working a job at a community center, mm-hmm. and working with kids. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't making enough money for me to be a big woman and live the lifestyle that I wanted to live.
In Caribbean terms, yes.
I didn't want. So I was looking in a newspaper, I don't know if you remember, called The Mirror.
Yes, yes, yes.
Remember The Mirror?
Community newspaper, days? Yeah.
Yeah, so I was looking at different ads for jobs, and then I went to almost like a personal section there. Mm-hmm. And there was like a naughty section that they used to have. And I was reading the different advertisements, and there was, and I was always just to look and say, wow, this is, you know, people are making this kind of money, mm-hmm. you know, for what they're saying, they're charging an hour. I'm like, wow, this is really amazing.
Right.
And, but I never seen anyone who looked like me right. in those papers.
Right.
And so one day I actually seen an advertisement come up, and it was a plus size white girl. Okay. She was really big, really tall from what she advertised. And her name was Mistress Rena. And gosh, I could tell you so much. It's so crazy. So I saw the advertisement, and one day I called her just to pick her brain and see, you know, if she would actually talk to me. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, she was nice enough to have a conversation with me. And she told me that at that time she was actually looking for an understudy. And I was like, what? She was like, yeah. So I actually went to go and meet her. Okay. And imagine me at this point, I think I'm like 18 at this point.
Okay. So, so technically legal.
Yeah. So some time has passed.
Right.
And, I'm 18 at this point. I think it was like the summer of my 18th birthday.
Okay.
And, from where I lived, I walked straight up the hill to her house. Mm-hmm. And I went to her building and she buzzed me in. And when I went to the door, I was amazed at what I saw. She was huge. She was so tall. I thought I was the biggest girl in the whole wide world.
Right.
So when I saw her, I was like, whoa, this is a big girl.
Right.
So automatically I was like enamored. I'm like, my gosh, it's so amazing, you know, how beautiful and big you are. And I'm like, so tell me about this internship. So she tells me, she says, and I will pay you for every sub that comes through the door. But really what I would do is I would just be showing you the ropes and I would be using you to do the things that I don't want to do. She's like, I've gotten so big at this point that I'm just tired and I don't feel like, you know, I can really trample someone properly or squash them properly.
Right.
So sometimes I need some help. I need some assistance.
Right.
Maybe I might even like, I might trample someone or squash someone, but I need you to, you know, like help me maneuver and stuff like that. So I was like, yeah.
Were kind of like an assistant.
Yeah. Like an assistant and understudy. Cause right. I got to actually do some stuff too. Well. Right.
Okay.
So, long story short, I was making some money and it was good. And at that time it was probably about $400 or $500 a week. And then, she got ready to move away.
Okay.
And she said, for the next 2 months, the rent is paid in this place. And if you'd like, you can keep it. But at my age and what I was experiencing up until that point, I didn't think that I could really handle it. Mm-hmm. So I told her I would see what I could do. I'll do the 2 months, but I'm not going to keep the place, which was a terrible move because I probably should have kept it. I would probably be a billionaire right now.
Right.
That's the truth. But I kept the place for 2 months. And for 2 months after that, she let me have her phone and this place. And I was making not as much as her, but I was making about $1,800 a week off of her phone because the difference was that she was white and I was black.
Right.
So those who were already notified that she'd be leaving and leaving the business to me, what it was, half of the clientele already backed away.
Right.
But I did have a nice run with it. And after the place was gone, I couldn't fathom bringing them down to my neighborhood.
Right.
So I just really let the phone go and I never touched it again.
Right.
For many, 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 many years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so, but that was pretty much my
introduction.
That was
your introduction. And how did you, because obviously for a few years you decided to back off of that, but how did you come back to it?
Okay. So, at one point in time, I was in a very long relationship, and the relationship ended. And at the time, I was really like, you know, pressed for money. Mm-hmm. And I had some friends who, and like I said, back when I first learned how to do this, people were posting in the mirror. Okay. Right. And there were cell phones, but it wasn't really a thing.
Yeah. Like how it is,
right?
Now.
How it is now. Cause your daytime, you remember in the daytime, you didn't really use the phone cause it cost so much to use it. And the phone would become free after 6.
Yeah.
Or after 5 or something like right?
Yeah.
So we had all of those funny plans and stuff. And it was just a lot cheaper to get, you know, a phone and let them call that phone. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, when this turn happened in my relationship and the relationship ended, I needed to have some money. I was used to having two incomes coming into the household. I was used to operating a different way, but I had some skills. I knew how to do some stuff. And I was kind of like, you know, there's a line in, I'm trying to think of what movie it was. It's like, I was babysitting, selling dope, braiding hair. The cops didn't know when to kick in the dough. And that was kind of like where my mentality was at that point in time, because I was like, you know, what am I going to do? So I was doing hair, which I'm very good at. And I had a mobile salon, and I was tired of standing on my feet, you know, 10 hours a day, sometimes 12 hours a day, sometimes doing hair and, you know, people not wanting to pay you what you're worth, and you've traveled. And then I would babysit. And because I've always been very good with children, so I'm babysitting. I get a couple bucks here and there, but just wasn't enough money for me when I felt like, as a grown woman, single now, single and disengaged. So I'm like, you know, I need to be doing some things with myself.
Yeah.
And I wanted to take some trips. And so I needed a certain type of wallet. I needed a certain type of bank account. I needed, you know, I needed big girl coins, you know, big bucks, no whammies.
Yeah.
And that's where my...
your return to the scene happened.
More than return to the scene, I would say, this is when my bad habits start to surface.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Tell us about these bad habits.
Well, this is where this BDSM thing comes mm-hmm. into play. Those I call it a bad habit, because it's actually hard to kick. The truth is that I'm naturally dominant.
Okay.
And so it comes out even when it's not in that lifestyle sometimes, mm-hmm. and I have to sometimes check myself, like, hey, you know, everyone is not that. Everyone's not a sub.
Right.
So, you know, let's get that together. But it's difficult.
So what is an example of a situation that, you know, the dominant side of you came out and it was like not supposed to, it shouldn't have happened in that case?
Well, I hate to say it. It's terrible to say, but I've converted some very dominant men into subservience in the bedroom. I also am I'm very pro masculinity, mm-hmm. so I absolutely want a man to be a man in the streets. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I feel like the type of guys that I like are often so dominant that they need a little refresher course in how to be a submissive, because you're going to need to know that if you want me to follow you, if you want me to submit to you, then you have to be a good leader.
Right.
And I think that's what makes for a good sub anyways. It makes for a good dom, is to know how to be a sub first.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm glad you brought that up. So, like, what is the difference between a dom and a sub, and what is the dynamic supposed to be?
Well, sub stands for submissive, right?
Right.
And dom, dominant. Some people try to gender it with dom, D-O-M, being for a man, and D-O-M-M-E for a woman. But for me, what I do, there's no gendering it, yeah. Because I am all of those roles at once.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm just a dom, D-O-M,
yeah.
whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is for me. But for me, you know, trying to, or like having a man try and get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in a real relationship. I want to be a flower.
Right.
I want to just be able to be a flower. And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these men see my prowess. They see me. They're looking at the way that my body is built, and something inside of them, even though they feel like, yeah, I want this to be my girl, and I could, something about who I am
energetically.
Makes them feel like they need to submit.
Right.
And they don't realize it at first, but we'll know 3 or 4 days in when I end up having to say, listen, I'm not your mother. You keep, now you going through, you was the man 3 days
doing
ago, but
too
now
much.
You kind of acting like, like you my baby. You're not my baby. You're not my child. I'm going to need you to man up. And when I realized that the reason why they were actually attracted to me because they felt my, me being maybe I don't want to say matronly, but like having a motherly type nature.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe needing a little bit of that. But that turns me as in a relationship, then that turns me into that dominant person. Now I'm going to steer you. I'm going to lead you.
Right.
And you might like it. But the problem is that the men usually end up having an internal battle about it because now they're wondering like, oh, does she really respect me? And I do. Yeah. I absolutely do. Just in the instance that I always say, you know, and I start this with youngins coming out, you know,
mm-hmm.
Everyone cannot be a leader.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
And there's, it's okay if you're going to be a follower, but I want you to know how to pick a good leader
mm-hmm.
so that your leader is not leading you into damnation. Right. So if you submit to me and you tell me that your kink is ABC, I'm not going to try and take you down XYZ. I'm going to be like, no. And I might want to try XYZ on you because I feel like it might be something you into, but I would never try it unless you say that this is what you're into, right?
Right.
So I have to restrain that dominant part of myself sometimes, like, Lord, don't make them your bitch all the way. Like, don't don't completely emasculate him.
Right.
Like, don't do that.
Right.
But though that's like, for me, that's a big thing.
So what I'm hearing is that consent and information has to be communicated before moving past anybody's limitations, right?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Consent is everything. Consent is everything. See, for what the other part of this zhuzh is for me, consent is very necessary.
Yes.
Because it could look on the other end like I was blackmailing someone. And the truth is that they for sure asked me for it if this is what I'm doing to them.
Right.
But I have a type of BDSM that I do that is actually blackmail.
Mm-hmm. But it's consensual
blackmail kink.
I love it. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are joining us for the first time, first of all, you need to like not be listening to this with the kids, or you need to be explaining to your kids exactly what this is if you want to listen to it with them.
No,
because it's fine. I mean, do what you, if you want to let them know, but we are informing you that this conversation is adult conversation tonight. We are speaking to Mistress Kitty, who has been in the BDSM kink community for over 20 years and only within the last 10 years got really, really serious about it. We are going to take a musical interlude, pay some bills, play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
There's a lot going on in the world today. See how it affects Montreal's Black and Caribbean community. Read the community contact. News, features, opinions, music reviews, cultural events, and so much more. Our voices, our perspectives, our community. Published every 2 weeks, pick it up at your favorite community spot or visit us online at our new and dynamic website, mtlcommunitycontact.com. Easy to navigate and lots to enjoy. Archived issues also on the site and available on the web. That's mtlcommunitycontact.com. Stay in contact.
Ooh, baby, I be closing my eyes. Sweetheart, woman, you are the one I'm dreaming of. Every single time that I be closing my eyes. Extraordinary, extraplanetary. Your arm a constellation, navigation emissary. Yeah, you sexy very. Yeah, it's necessary for me to say it clearly. I hope that you can hear me. And galaxies and stars, you're on the center of my universe. Say, yo, I'm never far. Your gravity attracts, your synergy is that energy propelling me through the empty spaces that are black. Head all the places of my mind. We are made of stars, we're part of the divine. Let Star Trek take it to maximum warp. You're my aurora, so you speak my language, of course. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a breach ain't one. This ain't VH1, and yo, my love is not a season. It's force and balance and elements and reasons.
Beneath my shadow, lie down beneath my shadow with great delight, and your fur will be sweet to me. Embraces time. Therein, my virgin loves wine.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. It is a post-Christmas kinky night tonight, and we have with us Mistress Kitty, who goes by many names and operates under different realms in the BDSM community. She's affectionately known as Kitty, Master Kitty for those under her command, and Mistress Kitty for the meek. Delving into the art of BDSM kink for over 20 years, she became really serious about it in the last 10 years, operating throughout Canada, whipping submissives into shape daily, Findom being her first love. Mistress is versed in many aspects as well. Mistress Kitty, thank you so much for being on the air with us this evening. So you had mentioned a couple of things, and of course in your bio before the break, you spoke about black male domination and you spoke about Findom. And I wanted to ask, like, what exactly is Findom, firstly, and then what is black male domination? And how do the two intersect?
Okay, so they can very much intersect depending on what the sub likes, what combination of things that get him to where he's trying to go.
Right.
Now, I am not versed myself in this in particular, but I can give you a little insight because I've been asked about it, and so now I'm delving. Right? Because I'm that girl. Right. I want to know what you like and I want to become that. Mm. And so that you have to live and breathe me. That's the mission. So I need to become exactly that thing that you need so that I can get you where I need you to be.
Okay.
So, I was asked recently about putting a certain application or spyware on my phone that while I was on the phone with a sub that I could actually browse his phone.
Wow.
And I could go into his system. I could find unscrupulous things that he looked at. I could screenshot it and I could send it back to him and say, aha, I found something. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm going to tell your wife.
Wow.
I'm going to ruin your whole life. And now he is under my command.
Right.
But I've never done this one before, but I was just sent a link to the app. And so I have someone who wants me to participate. Also, he also asked me about hypnosis. So he wants me to, but I would send him a contract first. I would obviously prepare a contract stating that he is consensual, giving me consent to hypnotize him.
Okay.
And also drain his wallet.
Wow.
So we would also discuss amounts.
Mm-hmm.
We would discuss what the limits are, what the parameters are, because the parameters of the relationship are very important. So we would set all of that in stone first, and then we would begin. And in that, I may notice an opportunity to leverage more if I recognize certain buying signs that they may give that I could upsell them on something else.
Right.
But this is something that I've been introduced to recently, so I'm actually interested in taking a hypnosis class, so that's what I'm about to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a little hypnosis class so I know more so how to do this, but I got some information about content creating with hypnosis, and I have begun on my own, so now I just need to hone it with a professional.
Okay. I'm curious because As much as this is kinky and BDSM and stuff like that, if you remove the kink aspect of it, this sounds like very healthy relationship practices. You know, like it sounds like, okay, we need to know the parameters of our relationship. We need to know like what our budget is. We need to know this stuff. Like how if any have things that people learn in a BDSM context, in the BDSM community, how are some of those things applicable in could call the civilian community?
So I always say, you know, this is why I say whipping submissives into shape daily. Most of the submissives that come to me are not submissive.
Okay.
They're very, very dominant people. Right?
Yeah.
They lack other social skills.
Okay.
And those are the skills that I teach them. I teach them respect. I teach them respect.
Okay.
You may not have any. I teach them manners. And I'm wagering their livelihood based on their ability to follow my commands. Mm. So I'm like a really, really strict boarding school teacher.
Okay. That's one of your personalities?
Your life depends on it.
Right.
On your manners. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
Your ability to navigate the world while sitting on your buttocks. Comfortably.
Right. Without your money, without your big mouth, without your big expensive suit, without that Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So going back to when I first started,
right.
I remember one of the first real subs that intrigued me that Mistress Rena had was a man that she gave the name Goofy to.
Okay.
Now, this man clearly, back in the days, had the Denzel Washington veneers. He had, and let me go back. So this is how it goes. The doorbell rings one day, and in comes this man, very well put together.
Right.
Dressed in probably what is a very, very, very super, super, very expensive suit, mm-hmm. shoes, tie, cufflinks that were out of this world, and
so a man who's
very
who's,
well put together and well
like there's six digits after the number in
very
his account.
Well established.
Yeah,
and I noticed more than anything. I said, "Oof, his suit is sharp, but his haircut, Oh, his haircut is so... I was like, I wonder who his barber is.
Right.
Because they hooked him.
Right, they hooked him up properly.
She says, as he comes in the door, she just shouts out from the corner, go into the bathroom. He goes into the washroom and he's like, right away, yes, mistress, yes, mistress. Mm-hmm. He goes into the bathroom. And me, I'm sitting there on the couch. I'm looking like, gosh, I've never seen her raise her voice like this before. This was definitely a different type of session than I've ever seen her do before.
Right.
And he goes into the bathroom. And when he comes out, I wondered if he had a stunt double.
Okay. What happened?
But a very, very, very poor malnourished one. I couldn't understand what I was looking at. But I was like, first of all, I was like, where the hell is his hair? First of all, where's the haircut? The entire thing was like a wig, a very well done toupee.
Wow.
It was so sexy, though. It was very like, what's his name? Greer? Okay. What's his name?
I don't know.
What's the actor's name from Pretty Woman?
Oh, Richard Gere.
It was very Richard Gere. It was very like salt and pepper, very well, tapered to the, he had no hair.
Right.
And then when he came out, his skin was saggy under his suit. It was horrible. His body looked like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
Oh, damn.
And he started to talk, and I realized at this point he had no teeth.
Oh, damn.
And then she gets up and she storms across the room. She comes out, she throws down a plate, she puts a piece of corn, a corn on the cob on the table, and she says, eat it. And now he is trying to gum the corn on the cob off the cob. And he's like, mistress, please, please cut me one little section so that I at least, she said, you want a starter piece? I'll give you a starter piece. So she walked over and she got a toothpick and she plucked one niblet of the corn out. And she said, that's your starter. So that was a space big enough for him to stick his tongue in to try and work this corn so that he could bite this corn. And for the first 20 minutes of his session, which I know he paid upwards in about $350 to this lady back then, $350 for an hour. And 20 minutes of that hour, he spent trying to nub this corn.
Wow.
After that, she took a doggy bowl. She filled it with water. She put it on the floor. He began to drink the water like a dog. And she was like, and some of the water jumped out of the bowl onto the floor. And she said, clean it up. And it was the first time I'd ever seen her be this cruel. But then he then licked the floor. And then she walked over and she stuck her foot in the bowl of water and told him to clean that. And then he began to drink the water from off of her feet in the doggy bowl. Wow. And I knew then that she was sadistic. She was a mad lady. And it was just like, whoa, she let go and kind of whipped ass on this guy that I didn't understand. But that day was monumental for me. Because after that, when she left me that phone, I saw him 3 or 4 times after that. And that gave me, and when he saw me the first time, he was like, you are twice as cruel as she is. Mm. You are truly a sadist, and I love you. It was amazing. It truly was.
And then I'm guessing this was a white man.
It was a white man.
So the power dynamic role reversal and, like, your ancestors was probably like, double down.
Get him. Get him.
Get him. Get him.
Here's a wire hanger, kitty. Mm-hmm. Get him, kitty.
Wow.
Here's a wire hanger.
So before the show, you and I had, when we were discussing about you coming on, you had spoken about reparations in mm-hmm. terms of what you're doing. What did you mean by that exactly?
Okay, so I've discovered a new type of, and it's probably not new because it was very much reversed before.
Right.
But a new type of BDSM that's been coming about more lately. Mm-hmm. And it is called BNWO. And okay. Those who worship it are those who wish to pay into reparations for what their ancestors have done to Black people.
Right.
And so, black women, namely.
Mm-hmm. So what's the acronym?
BNWO, Black New World Order.
Ooh. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's get it. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. What exactly happens in a BNWO session?
BDSM. So it's session. A lot of humiliation and degrading. And a lot of wallet draining that goes on. So these people come to me with it in mind that their ancestors were probably horrible due to the amount of ancestral wealth that they have.
Right.
And they are begging me to take it from them. And of course, it is attached to their sexuality. So they are there to do something nasty. They are messaging me to do something what they think. And I don't want to call it nasty because the truth is that I don't think it's nasty at all.
Right.
But they have something inappropriate they may think that they want to ask me for, but very well think that they or feel they don't deserve unless they are able to make right what was wronged.
Right.
And so they are begging me to punish them
mm-hmm.
for what their ancestors have done, to allow them to attempt to get or gain my forgiveness,
right?
By paying into reparations to me and whatever my causes are.
Right. This is sounding even. It sounds like it's surpassing the physical realm and heading into like metaphysical / spiritual kind of ideology.
It is very spiritual.
Because like it sounds like, you know, I don't know if you've watched certain kind of horror movies with regards to like possession and stuff like that, but it reminds me of this particular movie. I think it was with Heath Ledger back in the day.
Skeleton Key?
Pardon me?
The Skeleton Key?
I'm not sure if it's the Skeleton Key. It might be. Does Heath Ledger become a sin eater at the end? And then the Pope or whatever like calls him to eat his sins? And Anyhow, I think it was Heath Ledger. And there was this sin eater, and it sounds like they want you to be their sin eater. But what you're eating is you're getting the money. You know? And it seems like a very, very spiritual thing. Like if these people genuinely in their minds, they want to pay for the reparations for the evil that was done by their ancestors because of all of the wealth and privilege that they are enjoying today.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Do you feel like this is definitely something that's a part of at all, if any?
Well, this is the thing. You know what? I would have never, and I'm lying, I probably thought about it 100 times. That's right. The truth. Because I know that my last name is not of an African descent.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I know where it very well may have come from. And when I search up people that have my family's last name, they are very, 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 very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention that after that era that my people were actually well-to-do Black folks after that era.
Okay.
So could imagine how much money the people made off of them in order to leave them so wealthy to be able to purchase large brownstones.
Right.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So I have always kind of felt like, you know, those people should probably trickle down some of that wealth down the line to the people who helped them still maintain this generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, I think that the universe listens. And one day I got a message from a sub who says, you know, I want you to totally dominate me. And I want to be based on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no inkling of it, but I was like, sure, come on. And I Googled a couple of things beforehand. And then in about 1 minute of watching, I was like, oh, I can do this every day. And I left that. And it, and from that point on, that's where I've kind of been putting my attention and my energy. However, I do so much more. Wax play, smothering, trampling, CBT.
Mm-hmm. What's CBT?
I don't know if we can say that online.
Can we say whatever? Oh,
rooster.
Okay.
And basketball torture.
Oh.
Right.
Okay. Like, is this like a group session?
B.
Okay.
So it's, me torturing the rooster and the basketballs.
With literal basketballs?
Oh my father! I'm giving you now. I'm trying to okay. be politically correct here. Okay, so the female version of the rooster.
Chicken.
No,
the hen.
It starts with a C, but not a chicken.
The female version of the rooster.
Oh, is it the chicken or the other? It starts with a C.
The rooster and the hen.
And the.
No, I don't remember.
Oh my gosh.
But you don't, do you know the word?
Yes.
Word? I don't know. No, I don't, I'm not, no.
A what?
We move, we'll talk about it off the air because
we're going to have to grow up. We got to grow up. We're going to have, as individuals, we think we've grown, but maybe we're not as grown as we think we are. CBT, are you going to have to use your emotion, your imagination. Your imagination, please, your emotions too. Think about it. CBT, you know the last letter is torture, and the second word is balls.
Okay. Okay, well, no, okay.
C basketball. And B,
I was wondering
torture.
If the ball, no. the no. B was balls.
No,
like,
what? No, C and B torture.
Okay.
Right?
Let's wow. let's go on. You'll tell me what it is off the air.
Father God,
I'm not in that community, so I'm not gonna know what you're talking about. Like maybe when you tell me, I'll be like, oh, okay. But you know,
yes. Well, that's where I'm gonna torture the family jewels.
Okay,
got you.
Got it. Oh, okay. for Findom. Like you explained the blackmail, but for Findom, what is that exactly?
So Findom is short for financial domination, and financial domination starts with the exchange of power, where my submissive gives me power to run and control his life for a certain amount of time, and that mostly is centered around his finances. Depending on what his other kinks or her kinks may be, they may include a little home wrecking. They may include a little blackmailing and home wrecking, where, you know, they may be told to break up with their significant other. And saying no to me may make me take more money from them. So they'll have to give me more money in order for me to allow them to stay with their significant other.
Wow.
So it's a form of play.
Right.
But it actually makes them respect their significant others so much more. So I find that in that type of play, it doesn't really last long. It's not something that you're gonna do for years with the same person. This is something that once they have hit that limit, they are like, you are horrible. And my wife is an angel, and I am never moving from there again, you devil. So
so it's like a reverse therapy session for them.
Well, I feel like every session is a therapy session. I do believe that.
Right.
That's how
like
I feel.
It's like making them, in an extreme way, making them yes. appreciate their partner
Oh, yeah, what
more.
They have. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Because the threat of mm-hmm. Of losing their partner is real.
Also, me saying terrible things about her makes them realize how much they actually love her and how much it enrages them to hear me say, you know, your wife is a water baila. Your wife only can buy water. What are you even keeping her for?
She burns water.
She's worthless. Give me some more money. Give me some more. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you a bowl of soup in an Uber that's going to change your life. Send me $500 right now. I'm not going to send it. Because she's worthless. You guys eat from Uber Eats every day. Let's Uber something from my place. Tell her it's on, this one's on me.
And does their partner have... Do their partners have any idea of what they're doing? Like,
sometimes they do find out.
Okay.
Sometimes they do absolutely find out because, you know, there's nothing... You know, that's what your partner's doing. They're watching your pocket.
Right.
So...
Have you ever had somebody come back to you to try and confront you?
No, but okay. So I've had someone call me on the phone and say, "Leave people's husbands alone."
And what was your response?
I'm helping you. Say thank you.
He just went right into dom mode right there. He just like,
I'm helping you. Say thank you. You know why? You know what? He's been cheating for the last 12 years. Do you know why you went looking for me? You went looking for me because today he's happy and you know you didn't do it. Don't call my phone again. Say thank you. You want to send me an e-transfer? Otherwise, don't call here. You want to send?
Damn.
Otherwise, don't call this phone again. But yeah, the gift, I've had them call and just listen and stuff like that. It is what it is. I've actually had a sub of mine say to me, "Master, you are so strong. I have a problem, though. My girlfriend is starting to realize that there's a lot of money going missing from my account, and I can't explain it." And I said, "You're going to tell her that you have a family member who needs a heart transplant, and that's where you've been sending the money, and that they need about $40,000. You've already sent 20, but you need another 20. And can she help you? You're going to send me 10 now, and 10 of it you'll be able to send me in small pieces so that we can play. Okay?" He's like, "Please, please don't make me do that. Please." I said, "Okay, don't ever talk to me about your girlfriend and your finances again. Send me 800 euros right now." And he sent me 800 euros just for the disrespect.
Wow. That
I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear nothing about this lady.
Right.
First of all, when you first got on this page, you told me you were single. So I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear nothing about no woman. That ain't got nothing to do with our contract.
First of all, I think you're lying.
Right. Right, because you lied.
Because you don't want to give me all the money. Don't lie.
There we go. Let's talk about contracts, because as a producer myself, I deal with a lot of contracts. How detailed, how long, how detailed and how long do your contracts get with your submissions?
It really depends on the situation,
mm-hmm.
how many kinks they have, how many of them I can actually benefit from. How much money they have. So it depends on, you know, how many tasks they'll have and how many things they'll be responsible for. And they can go over it and revise and see where, you know, I've even had a sub go look at it. And I said that the weekly was one amount and he upped it by $300.
Okay.
And he was like, "I think that you deserve way more. I think that you undersold yourself, if I can say that, mistress, without having a problem." And then I made him pay a fee for telling me that.
Oh my God. I love it. I love it for you. It's, I think, yeah, I'm here for it because, you know, for far too long, us in the Black community have been subject to financial slavery. Okay. In the form of so many things, like redlining communities,
like work,
like
like 9 to 5s.
9 to 5s. 9 to 5s I remember getting into an argument with an ex-partner of mine when I told her that working a 9-to-5 for me, I hate it. Not that I wouldn't do it. And I had the irony was that I had a 9-to-5 at the time, but I hate having to travel for anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour to this place, sit down for 7 to 8 hours a day, then travel back home, spending 10 to 12 hours of my day working for subpar pay, you know? And I was lucky at the time I was working somewhere that I really enjoyed working. So it wasn't in terms of like being a big deal. It wasn't a big deal because I also believe that I can, yes, I do want a lot of money, but I can, if I'm enjoying what I'm doing and I don't have pressure, I don't have stress and all of that negativity, I can work for a little bit less money. If I'm completely enjoying what I'm doing.
That's right.
But if I'm not, you need to be paying me so much. when I put a dollar amount
to it, I don't miss it. That's right.
You know,
and I don't miss my happiness. That's the truth.
Exactly.
Have you seen my childhood?
May I have a piece, sir? No, I don't want to be like that.
May I have another morsel, please, sir? No.
I don't want to be like that. But ladies and gentle people listening in, if you tuned in halfway through, apologies, because we are having adult conversation this evening. We are speaking with Mistress Kitty, who operates under many different realms of the BDSM kink community, affectionately known as Kitty, Master Kitty for those under her command, and Mistress Kitty for the meek. We have been, you know, having a kinky post Christmas conversation. You can find her at Ma Tante Cochonne on IG. But, you know, this is
radio. And Twitter.
But this is radio, and we do have to pay some bills, play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
I'm ready.
'Cause no one does it better than me.
To you, now it's up to you, now it's up to you, now it's on.
Yes, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are having kinky conversations here post-Christmas with Mistress, and she does go by many names as she has operated under many different realms of BDSM. She is affectionately known as Kitty, Master Kitty for those under her command, Mistress Kitty for the meek, and she's been delving into the art of BDSM kink for over 20 years, but has become serious about it in the last 10 years, operating throughout Canada, whipping submissives into shape daily, Findom being her first love. Mistress is versed in many aspects as well. Welcome to her world of exquisite desires and lavish indulgence. She is a curvaceous BBW Findom with a captivating presence and an insatiable appetite for power dynamics. Allow her to guide you through the thrilling journey of financial submission and connect you to new realms of pleasure. Mistress Kitty, thank you so much for being here this evening, for sharing with us, for telling us some stories as well, because that's something that I really love is storytelling. And
I'm more anecdotal than anything, so I'm gonna tell you what's popping because I experienced, not because I read it somewhere. So exactly. I got some stories to tell.
Exactly. In my conversations with you on and off the air, you make a lot of references to like amen and very Christian-like references. Are you a practicing Christian?
Okay, so a lot of this is just part of my dialect. This reparations thing, it goes far for me.
Okay.
I was also raised part of my life in the South.
Okay.
So amen might not always just be a Christian thing. It might just be how we say hell yeah.
Right. Got
it. So amen is meaning the affirmative. It means I agree with you in other settings.
Okay.
But definitely a big Christian influence from younger, but getting older, choosing a more spiritual route. Okay. But absolutely. And I actually tell my slaves, my submissives, to tithe to the Church of Kitty. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for sure. Tithe to the Church of Me. Worship me. Idolize me. And I know it's terrible. You know, people would say that it's blasphemy. People in the Christianity world will say it's blasphemy. But it's an act. You know, it's part of the persona.
Right. Well, at least you're honest. Because in the Christian community, there's a lot of people that give tithes to their pastor and whatnot, and their pastor is going and hiring a dom
I'm past the pleasure,
right?
So I'm past the pleasure, so tithe to the Church of past the pleasure, because I got what you need, and that's the truth. And not to be blasphemous, I know a lot of people are going to come for me with this. I know you're going to have a lot of like feedback about this, like, that is terrible. We never want to hear her again. It's okay. I'm not for you, babe. The truth is that there are more people with those types of deviance than not.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, everyone has a something, whether you know it or not. Everyone has a little kink.
Right. And it's a spectrum. It's not a destination. It's not a fixed point. It's a spectrum. Like everything from like maybe light slapping on the buttocks to full on cat nine tail whippings that are gonna remove actual flesh from bone. You know,
yes.
Like there's that whole spectrum of BDSM kink. As I said that, I remember 50 Shades of Grey. How did you feel when that film came out? Because I heard a lot of things from the BDSM kink community that I knew at the time. But what was your reaction to that film and those books?
So I'm going to tell you the honest to God truth. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch them again, because when I watched them, I wasn't operating at that time. And I was like, meh.
Right.
I was very, it was underwhelming.
Okay.
For me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was very lackluster. Their demeanors were very, but I think that also has a lot to do with preference.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why he chose her, why she was the one, you know, how her facial expression, just the way she was. I'm not that. I am Christian Grey on meth.
On meth, okay.
I'm on steroids.
There we go.
I'm just saying.
Forget about
it. I'm just saying. Is that amped up?
You're on some Blade introduction stuff. Forget about
BDSM. You know the movie Players Club. When Ronnie walks into the room of all the police officers and she says, "All right, you white MFers, all eyes on me. Everybody down on the floor." Mm-mm-mm. And that is, even for me, is mild.
It's mild, right.
Right. Because I'm putting my hands on people as I walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
There's no time to prep yourself. I'm that. I'm like, as you walk in the door, understand that the session has started.
Right. And then
my money, you should literally strip, crawl to me, pass me my money.
Right.
That's the order. It starts as, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
You're not getting a little bit of the real me,
and then your mistress. Talking.
You're not ever going to meet me.
Right.
You're about to meet mistress from the door.
Mm-hmm. How much of your mentor's teachings remain with you? Your first mentor that you went up the hill to go and like start learning from her. How much of those teachings are still with you today?
Oh, about 30%.
Oh, okay. Is there a particular reason why it's 30% and like not more or less?
Oh, because I've amplified that game 10 times from what she showed me, from what I saw there. I've taken it to different levels. I've excelled in a different way. And she backed out of it after she left here.
Okay.
She became different. She wanted to be skinny. She was no longer in a lifestyle. She didn't love it. Right. I love this. Mm. So it's different. I actually love it. And that's why it's important that I want to be able to spread my wings a little bit more and make some more change off of it, because it actually is a form of therapy, and it helps. It helps a lot of different things. So, but
therapy
I've taken
for you or therapy for other people.
You know, you can say both, because after I tear someone's ass up, there's nothing more for me
satisfying.
Like, so, but in regards to that, yeah, I would say they're about 30%, because I've amplified the game. I've gotten it to a different level now, where I actually, so I do like excursions, kind of what I would call an excursion, where you may be going on vacation with your family, but you could fly me in too to the same resort.
Wow.
And I would be in a room somewhere off on the resort, and in the evenings, then you could come. I would be paid for the entire stay there for every evening that I know. I would be pre-planned, and I'm on the resort with you.
Right.
So I fly in the same time. I might fly in on the flight that comes in later on that day.
Okay.
I've actually been in. I'm going to say the name of the place just because, but I have actually been in Barbados and was walking and hooked up to some Wi-Fi, and a call came in on my, I had a call app at the time.
Right.
And it was one of my subs, and they were like, "Did I just see you in Barbados?" And I'm like, "Oh, you're in Barbados?" And they were like, "Yeah." He's like, "Is there any way that I could see you tonight?" I was like, "Absolutely." He was like, "What's the rate?" I was like, "Well, here the rate is different because it's going to be more because I'm on vacation."
Right.
And he's like, "That's fine, whatever you want." So.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I've taken it to a whole nother level. I actually have some other DOMs in different countries that I actually send some blessing. So when my client says, "Oh, I'm going to XYZ," I say to them, "Yeah, I actually have a DOM there. That you could see if you're interested," you know.
Final question before we close. What is the presence like of black folks in BDSM in the community here in Montreal right now?
Okay, so we're here, but I don't even want to get into the part that we're repressed, but it is. They often try and, you know, push us out of that light a little bit. Mm-hmm. But we are there. We're there, and we are dominating. Mm-hmm. I could say for other places across Canada, though, we may be doing a little bit better.
Right.
Toronto Doms are doing great.
Okay.
Edmonton, Vancouver.
Right.
There may even be one or two in Nova Scotia.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
But there's, you know, anyways, where there's water, there's money. So, and where there's oil, there's money. So in those places, you'll see that there are girls that are out there that are doing very well. Even guys, like, because there's some guys that are into financial domination too.
Okay.
You know.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask if, pardon me? They're called
cat called Cash Masters.
Cash Masters. Me like it. Me like it.
I actually consider myself a cash master too.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll actually wear like my strap on, like when I do lives from my Twitter or do lives from my OnlyFans, mm-hmm. I'll play the role of cash master. I won't be a femme dom. I'm going to be
a dom a cash with one master. M.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I'm going to be a cash master. So that's always been kind of part of my persona also, too, because I do at times wear a strap on.
Right.
So, yeah.
Miss Kitty, we are coming to the end of our kinky post-Christmas talk. Let people know how they can find you, how they can get at you, if they want your services. Maybe perhaps someone would be inspired to become your apprentice. If you're looking for someone, I don't know. You never know what happens, right? Like when it comes to Radioland. So please just give out your information and yeah.
So my Twitter is at MATANTECOHO. COCHONNE Koshan. Also, for anyone who is listening today and would like to maybe tribute to be able to have a one-on-one with Mistress, you can go to the link in my bio on my Twitter or on my Instagram, and there is a Wish Tender and a Wish Hush, two ways that you can send money, and there's a link to my OnlyFans, also to my Feet Finders. If you're interested in maybe buying some of my undergarments or my used apparels, you can see my my store on Sophia Gray, and it's called The Cat's Meow. So I also have a Discord page. So if you're interested in being drained in wallet drains or drain games, or being walked outside on a leash or being taken to the ATM in broad daylight and wallet raped, you know who to look for.
Miss Kitty, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us and giving us a new perspective of a not often spoken to section of the Black community, if we're being real, you know. I think it's important to showcase people from the Black community. And when I say Black community, I mean all of us. There is no censorship. Well, a little bit of censorship for the radio, because, you know, can't be talking a hot mess in people's ears on the air. But
I hope that I curbed my enthusiasm a little bit today.
Yeah, we're good to go. We're good to go. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been listening, we've been talking to Mistress, who has gone by many names as she has operated under many different realms of BDSM. She's affectionately known as Kitty, Master Kitty for those under her command, Mistress Kitty for the meek. She's been delving into the art of BDSM kink for over 20 years and has become very serious about it in the last 10 years. Operating throughout Canada, whipping submissives into shape daily, Fin Dom is her first love. And Mistress is versed in many aspects as well. You've been listening to Ma Tante Koshan with me this evening. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we got, I think, one more show before the end of the year. If you don't join us, hope you all have a happy new year. Hope your new year is blessed with wealth, health, all of the good things. And then we'll be back in January. So keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. On my own.
you had me wrapped around your finger. You were talking kind of cocky like you had it going on. All the while you knew that things were kind of shaky. You knew that you were wrong, dead wrong to be mistreated. How can we go home?
Not a word from you.
Not a single word from
said
you.
I'm just about to.
What's a girl?
I can't take it all.
On my neck, you let me know I'm your number one select. I like lipstick on my neck, hands around my waist, so you know what's coming next. I wanna feel your lips on mine. I just wanna feel a little tongue. We don't have a long time. On my neck, leave a sticky icky in a place I won't forget. I like lipstick on my neck, baby. I'm obsessed. Give me undressed. I wanna feel your lips on mine. I just wanna feel a little tongue. We don't have a long time. Ooh, you're talking nasty and I like it. Like it. Whisper in my ear, only me you can hear. I seen it from the back and I'm excited.
Try it. Find me on my neck, and you know what's coming. Hot sex on a Friday. Hot sex on a Friday. driver's line swiper, no can do. And if you take off a dope, then ask the other two, and I'll proceed to let you know exactly how to flow. I'm not a law doctor, so just suckle with the hoe. Oops, my mistake, I didn't know you went with her. Should I run down the line of all the kids that done hit her? Don't be bitter. I hear that honey resembles a critter. Heard she likes it 2-1-1 like my man John Ritter. But back to the subject, you can't catch wreck. You must give respect to earn respect. Suckers think they can hurt me, cause now I respect. You're full of jokes, but yo, your name ain't flex. I got the riches, the bitches. I'm large like a Huxtable. You think you're all that, but your girl's quite doable. Yeah, I'm telling you, G, to back above me. I'm not a man called Hawk, but I ain't Mr. Softy. Rapping is an art coming straight from the heart. So forget the chalk, because the action got stars.
Where you at? To all my people with the funk, I'm the undercover brother. Dump your hoe in the trunk. Save all the sad songs and the tear jerkers. Niggas step back, it's the lyrical worker. The points that I create ain't in paperback books. The points that I create are for hookers and the crooks. My mental is excelling cause I dabble in the books. I'm not the one in the front on, so sub-ups. Yo, I guess the pickings, I'm such a damn dickens. If you step to this, then the block just thickens. I run you around the track like a bunny and a dog. To me, you're just another MC on the wall. A link in the chain, fluid on the brain. I boast of hype lyrics, and yours are mundane. See, I can't maintain, especially if you come back. I'm the lyrical master blaster. Yeah, I can do.
Feel the beat!
Wait a minute, that's too fast.
Now what?
Kick it over here, baby pop!
CKUT, yo. Yo, this is for your mind, soul, and spirit. Plus your body vibes. Masters at work, you gotta hear it. And West Indian rhythms on Saturday night. Roots, rock, reggae, I keep it tight. Manchild, hitting switches, keep it right. The cypher on a Friday. Psalms of soul, I do it my way. With ill groove on Sunday, I gotta say one way. We stick together. It's for unity in the community on CKUT at 90.3. Manchild and John Fish. We give you that musical wish to put more music in that dish. So listen to your radio station and simply turn it on. CKUT, word is born, word is born. Y'all enjoy yourselves, love you Montreal. Tune in to CKUT, always.
News sucks, we know. So why not join us for a cool show? Exploring the state of Canada's Chris Media Landscape is Saturday, January 20th. It's at St. Jack's Center in downtown Montreal. It's the inaugural edition of the Harbinger Showcase live recording series. Come and hang out with Rob Russo, Paris Marks, and Nashua Khan. It's a media criticism panel conversation with guests tabling from Palestinian Youth Movement, Breach Media, The Rover, People, CUTD, Sierra Club Canada, and more, plus an after party connecting left journalists and activist communities. Yeah, it's a Saturday, January 20th, 8 p.m. at St. Jack's, 1439 St. Catherine West. It's $15 at the door, and the venue's licensed BYOB, so bring some drinks and friends for a great night of media criticism. It's like Canada Land, but anti-Zionist. Hopefully see you there.